Well, good morning. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. If today's your first day with us, we're thrilled that you're with us. If you've been around for a long time, certainly we are grateful for you as well. If you're listening as part of our online community, thanks for tuning in this morning. We are finishing up a series, what for us is probably one of the most important series we've ever done at our church. It's called Build. And Build is not only the name of the series, but it's also the name of our two-year generosity initiative. So beginning really as we kind of wrap the series today, moving forward, we're looking at the next 2 years of everything that we believe that God has given to us to do. And the big idea for the series is that generosity builds a legacy. And so as we look at our next 2 years, what we've done is we've looked at the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and we looked at what God used Nehemiah to uniquely do among his people, and what we believe that God has called us to do among three vision handles: neighbors, nations, and next generations. And so 2 weeks ago, we took the opportunity to talk about our neighbors and all that we believe God is calling us to do locally, which includes launching another campus, which includes building a Habitat for Humanity house for one of our members here. And so if you want to listen to more of that, you can go back a couple of weeks ago and pick up that message. Last week, we talked about the nations and all that we believe God is calling us to do in our current partnerships on five different continents around the world, but specifically in Africa, and helping orphans and vulnerable children with vocational skills that they can develop over the next phase of their lives. And currently, we're partnered with about 210 children, specifically in Kakira, and then certainly with children there in Malawi as they're going through and reach the age of secondary school, to provide skills for them so that they can not only have lives that thrive, but so they can be part of church planting there in Africa. Which brings us today to talk about next generations. And in a lot of ways, the message has already been taught this morning. You saw folks from the next generations leading in our band this morning, college students and high school students. We're dedicating a record number of children today in child dedication. I think we have 25 families that are dedicating children today across both services. So in some ways, next generations is already spelled out for you. But I do want to take the opportunity, as part of talking about next generations, to talk about the facility that we believe it'll be our first facility that we have ever built from the ground up and owned. We've leased this facility since 2011, and it has certain limitations that kind of hinder us here with parking and space, and certainly we need room for all these babies, right? So I want to just take a brief minute and give you a fly through of our building. So if you would turn and watch the screens, you'll see that displayed there. As you fly through the building, I'll say a couple things about it. First of all, we're super grateful for our team, Meacham and April Architects and Rusilli Construction. They've done a great job helping us and put the facility together. On the interior, will have a feel similar to this, but it'll be much better in terms of layout. And like I said, space for children, parking spaces. We have about 110 parking spaces on this property, so you know people are parking next door, and all those different spaces around our building. We'll be able to have adequate parking. You know, on big days, we have people who drive onto our property here and they drive off because they can't find a space to park. And the architects have done a great job in value engineering the building as well, to help us with materials. For example, when you look at the exterior of the building, we have to build in conjunction with codes. The township has certain codes. County certainly has codes. So our building has to resemble and fit with things like Nationwide Urgent Care across the street and Mount Carmel Fitness up the road and the fire department that's across the street. But our architects have done a great job of providing materials that are sized. So if we buy materials, for example, that are in 4x8 sheets, they've worked that out where we can put those in place and not have to make a lot of cuts, which saves us thousands of dollars in labor costs. The building, if you were interested in the auditorium, will seat about a third more folks than we can actually seat in this room right now. And currently we have space around the room, certainly for children's space that meets that adequately, and parking that meets that adequately as well. So we are super excited about our church's opportunity to take this next step. What we said last week is that the building is just the beginning. right? Nehemiah rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem in 52 days, along with this team of people, the people who lived there. They reconstructed those walls that have lasted 3,000 years. They still stand today in Jerusalem. When we said that we believe the next 2 years affect the next 200 years for us moving forward. Then of the 50,000 cars that drive north-south on 23 and the 20,000 cars a day that are gonna drive east-west on Home Road, when all of that gets connected, that's 70,000 cars a day that for, we believe, a couple of hundred years minimum, people are gonna be able to drive by there and say, that's a place where I can go and know God. And so after the walls were constructed and after the people had worshiped, in Nehemiah chapter 10, they wanted to get together to create a covenant. Here's kind of how that worked. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 14 says this. The chiefs of the people, Parosh, Pahath Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Bunny, Asgad, Bebai. The only reason I'm reading these names to you is I just want to point out somebody named their kid Bunny. That is just wrong. If you want your son to get whipped every day at school when he's a kid, name him Bunny. You can't shorten that, right? What are you going to say? Hey, what's up? Buns, right? You can't shorten it. You poor kid. That's the only reason I read that to you. Look down at verse 28. The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who have separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of their God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all who have knowledge and understanding, join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his rules and his statutes. So the people come together and they say to God, God, we want to make a covenant. Now, a covenant is different than a contract. That's how we do things today. A contract says, if you do your part, I'll do my part. I did a wedding yesterday and I stood and looked at the bride and the groom and I said, today you're entering a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. So you say to the other person, this is what I am covenanting to do with you. It's different than just a contract. Marriage is not 50-50, right? Marriage is two people coming together in 100% agreement. And that's what the people say. So a covenant in their minds was like a curse oath agreement. You were taking an oath. You were saying, this is what we're going to do, God. And if we don't do that, we're calling a curse onto ourselves. So stepping into a covenant where God was concerned was very serious. So what were the parts of the covenant? There were two parts. The first part, you read in verse 30. Here's what the people said. We will not give our daughters to the people of the land or take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, and we will forego the crops of the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. The first half of the covenant was about family leadership. And as we think about next generations, as we think about our children and our children's children, right? You think about your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. What we are stepping into in the next 2 years is a covenant with the next generation. And we're saying to them, they who are already beginning to lead us now, the same thing that these people were saying. The people were saying, listen, God, we understand that the reason we went into exile in the first place is because we used the other nations as security against attack. We married our children into other faiths, thinking that we were strong enough, that we were our own spiritual source, that would have no impact on us. But actually, when we did that, God, we began to worship idols. And we look back now and we see that our idolatry was our downfall. And so what we're saying today, God, is that we're going to lead our families in such a way to view you as our source and that we're only leading and pointing the next generation to you. And I think for us today, while we may not put idols up on our mantle to worship, our generation certainly has its idols. And as we look at the next generation, it's our job and our role to partner with them. When you go through the lobbies, you'll see a book out there called The Family Framework. And it's our plan, our strategy, our prayer to partner with families to help reach the next generations and to continue that moving forward to point the next generations back to God. In doing so, we hope and pray that we are making a difference in the lives of families consistently and continually. over this build series, I've told you, I've given you some of my favorite moments in the last 15 years. I give you another one this morning that really relates to next generations. About a decade or so ago, a family moved into our neighborhood, the Hooks family. And in a decade, their family has changed in so many ways. They've got Eagle Scouts and athletes and their kids and all those kinds of things. But when they first moved into our neighborhood, they moved in because one of their children, a young man, Caden, he had retinoblastoma, and they came here because of the Ohio State School for the Blind. And so they moved here in 2009, and in 2011, Caden went public with his faith through baptism. And one of my favorite moments in the history of LifePoint was hearing Caden tell his story. So I want to take you all the way back to 2011, and I want you to hear Caden as a young man tell his faith story.
It all started when I was a little boy and I had cancer in my eyes. We had cancer treatment for 2.5 years when they decided to take out my eyes to save my life. I asked my mom and dad if it would be dark forever. And they said no, because if you accept Jesus into your heart, when you die, you'll go to heaven and you will see the brightest and best colors and lights you'd ever seen. And that was my first journey with Jesus. My second journey is my redemption and salvation in Solomon's porch when they talk about Jesus. And at OSSB, I made new friends because the other blind schools in Michigan didn't do very well. Now I'm in the middle of my third journey, which is making new friends at OSSB, Ohio State School for the Blind. You have to spread salvation on in salvation and redemption on in public so other people can be saved and debt paid. You don't want to think only for yourself all the time. You have to think for others too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, "We live by faith and not by sight." But I think every verse in the Bible is fit for everyone, including that one. But I think that one is just my favorite. It's my theme. My name is Caden Hooks, and today I am going public.
Caden did an incredible job. He said two things in there that are very important. The one line you heard him say that, you know, the reason I came down here to OSSB, Ohio State School for the Blind, is because the schools in Michigan didn't do very well. That was very important in what he said. But the second thing he said, I loved how he quoted that verse. And he said, you know, all the verses in the Bible are for everybody, but this one is my theme. And as we think about our ministry to generation after generation and after generation, I'm praying that generosity will become our theme as we pray to reach the next generation. So that's the first part, was family leadership. The second part is first fruits. And it's kind of hard to see how these two things connect until you really think it out. Here's what the people said in verse 35. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord, also to bring to the house of God and to the priests who minister in the house of God, the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, the firstborn of our herds and of all our flocks. The first fruits. Now, the first fruits is a feast that was celebrated in Israel. It's actually, if you want to do some more extra study, you can look at Leviticus chapter 23. And the feast of first fruits always followed the first day of the week after Passover. Now, Passover was always the 15th of the month of Nisan, which is our month for April. And so what would happen is on the day of first fruits, you would take up your harvest in the fall, you would sow barley. The barley would lay dormant in the ground. In the spring, it would come up. And about the 15th of Nisan, there was barley showing from the ground. So you would cut the first of your barley harvest, the beginning, and you would bring it on the first day of the week following the Passover, the 15th of Nisan, and you would bring it as an offering, and you would bring it into the temple. You would put it in the priest's hand, and the priest would make a wave offering with it. So the priest would take your barley offering, and he would do that. Now, why would he do that? Well, why do you wave at someone? You wave at somebody to get their attention, right? So the idea was that you would bring your offering, the first fruits, the first barley out of the ground, you would bring it, and the priest would wave it to God in your behalf as a way of saying, God, we believe that there's more to come. Because you have given this to us, we give back to you the first. We give back to you the first fruits, and we're gonna offer it to you as a way of saying that we're a people who live by faith, not by sight, what you just heard Caden say in the video, that we believe there's more to come. Now, here's where it gets interesting, in my opinion. Because there's many scholars. I wouldn't say most, because I probably couldn't do right a count. But I'll say there's many, many scholars who believe that Jesus was crucified in 32 AD. Now, because of the rigidity of the Hebrew calendar, you can count back thousands and thousands of years. And in 32 AD, the Passover, the 15th of Nisan, fell on a Thursday. You get it? You're not tracking with me. You're looking at me like, so what? So Passover fell on a Thursday. So they would have celebrated Passover. Jesus and his disciples would have celebrated the Passover on Thursday. Jesus then would have been crucified on Friday, put into the grave. He's in the grave Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, he's resurrected. That would have also meant that that Sunday morning would have been the first day of the week after Passover, which would have meant that was the day of the wave offerings that the people would have made of the first fruits. Now, you're still not tracking with me, are you? Still not with me? So that means that on Sunday morning, here come all of these families into Jerusalem, all of them with their first fruits, barley offering in their hand, and they walk into the temple, and the priest is waving heavenward, saying, God, here's a sign to you that we believe that there's more to come. And at the exact same time, God is raising Jesus up from the dead. He's resurrecting Jesus, and God is saying to us, no, here's a sign to you that there's more to come. See, it totally makes sense to me now why when I was a kid, every Easter we would gather together and we would sing the same song every Easter. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, and it's almost like the writer of that song didn't know what else to say. He arose, hallelujah. Christ arose. And so what God is saying is exactly what Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 15. But in fact, Christ is risen from the dead. Why is that important? Because he's the first fruits of all of those then who what? Who remain. So while the people come to God and they say, hey, God, we believe there's more to come. God is saying, no, you don't understand. The first fruits of the dead, my son has been raised. And in doing so, that's a reminder to you. Not only that you will be raised, but the people that you love, who have gone on before you, who are in Christ, the fact that I have raised my son gives you hope. It's a sign to you that you too, that your loved ones too shall be raised. So what? So that means that we have to learn to live in generosity. That means that we come to God with what? With first fruits. Because what's really easy to do, it's really easy for you and me to come to God with leftovers. It's really easy for us to say, you know what, God, I've got to take care of this first, and this first, and this first, and a vacation, and I've got these things that I want to do, and if I've got something left over, God, I'll give that back to you. See, generosity helps us not become last fruits followers of a first fruits God. God gave us the very best in his son, in Jesus. So we give back to him generously, not for our own sakes, but we have been blessed to be a blessing. And so as we come to today, we take the opportunity as a church family to commit to this vision, neighbors, nations, and next generations for the next 2 years for the sake of the next 200 years. I've already explained some things to you over the last few weeks, but just by way of summary, I'll say to you, our goal, our dream, our desire in this is that we need to stretch our current budget from $6 million over the next 2 years to $8 million. Our budget's about $3 million a year, so for 2 years, that's $6 million. But to do everything we see and sense that God wants us to do, it's gonna be about $8 million. So what that means is all of us need to live together in generosity. I've shared with you that 60% of the people here at Lewis Center give 100% of the offerings. So we're praying that all of us would take a step today and live generously because God has been so incredibly generous to us. So what does that look like? I don't know. I've given you a variety of ways that maybe that looks like for you. Maybe that means you give up Starbucks a couple of days a week for the next couple of years. Maybe that means you don't eat out as much for the next couple of years. Maybe that means you rearrange tax returns for the next couple of years or retirement for the next couple of years. I don't know exactly how that looks for you. But I know that our leaders, our staff team, I've already shared with you that Angie and I are praying to double our tithing for the next couple of years, to sacrifice for this vision, not because we have to, but because we want to, because it's a joy, right, to us to live for the sake of passing faith on well to the next generations. I don't know exactly what it looks like for you, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that you've been prayerful about the step that I believe that God is calling us to take together today. Last week, I showed you the giving profile. I'll throw it back up here. You're saying, well, what does that look like? How would that work? This is kind of what it looks like. And what that profile says to me is that we all need to take steps of generosity together to see this happen. I highlighted those first six rows just as a way to say to you that when we had this Move 321 initiative 3 years ago, no one took those top six lines in terms of making a commitment. I'm prayerful that some will this time. It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice for all of us to live in generosity in terms of what God is calling us to do. So how do we do that? In all of your seats today, there's a card there. I'd ask you just to take it up. I want to be real clear about what it means and what it doesn't mean. It looks like this. If you wouldn't mind, just pick it up. On the left-hand side of the card, obviously that's simple there. That's just your name and email, address, that kind of information. The middle of this card is really just the how for the next 2 years that you would like to participate in generosity and the resources that God has blessed you with to be a blessing to neighbors, nations, and next generations. If you'd like to give weekly, if you'd like to give bi-weekly, monthly, annually, that's the middle part. On the right-hand side of the card, the white box there in the middle, the largest box, represents your total giving, prayed over, planned for the next couple of years to the ministries of LifePoint. Now, this is not a traditional build campaign. If you've been in church before and done this, this is not just an over and above. This is all the giving that you're praying to, planning for over the next couple of years. So the way I've said it during the series is if you're already giving $10,000 a year to the ministries of LifePoint and you're prayerful to do that over the next 2 years, that would be $20,000. And if you prayerfully are taking a generosity step, maybe a $5,000, that would be $25,000. That's what would go in that box. That's your total giving to LifePoint over the next couple of years. That bottom box on the right there's called Kickstart. All that is if you'd like to give some of that before the end of the year, this year for tax purposes, that amount goes into that box. If you're listening in LifePoint online community today, you're not here in person, you can fill out a build commitment card electronically just by going to the blog page. On the website, there's an electronic card there. If you're here, certainly with us today, and you'd like to do that, you can do that via the app by going to the resources tab and the blog, and you can find that electronic card there. If you're our guest today, I want you to know this is for regular tenders and members of LifePoint. We certainly are not asking you to participate in making a 2-year commitment to us, but here's what we would ask you to do. On the back of the listening guide that you got whenever you came in this morning, there's a connection card. Listening guide looks like this. The connection card is right there. We would just ask that you would take that connection card and fill that out. And whenever we take up our offering in a couple of minutes, you can put your connection card in the buckets as they come by. For every card that we receive, we'll make a $5 donation to a ministry called Alicia's Closet that does an incredible job of preparing families to receive foster children into their care and in their home. So for some of you, maybe you haven't been here for a bit, and I want to give you the opportunity to take the time to fill your card out, and here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to invite Caden Hooks up to our stage. You met him via video 10 years ago, and this morning he is going to come, and he is going to play a piano piece for us while you take the opportunity to fill out your card. So Caden is going to play, and while Caden plays, you take the opportunity to fill out your card, put that in the envelope. Then when Caden is done, I'll come back up. I'll pray for our offering, and our connections team will begin to pass around the buckets, and we will receive this offering. I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm super grateful for you. I'm super grateful for the way you've been tracking and praying. I'm grateful for those of you who are leaders, who've already turned your cards in. I've said with you, I've shared with you already that, you know, we believe leaders go first. And as of today, our leaders have gotten us 50% of the way to this end goal. And if we all take steps forward in generosity and become the kinds of people that God wants us to become, living generously, the goal certainly will be no problem. So Caden, we welcome you to the stage, and you can take it away. Thank you. Let's pray together. And Father, as we gather our hearts together right now, you have been so kind to us. Over and over and over again in these 15 years, you have provided and provided and provided. And God, we want to be first fruits followers. Lord, we want to give back to you, to live in generosity for all that you have given to us. Lord, we want to be good stewards of the lives that you have provided for us. And so God, I pray now that as humble and as meager as they are and as we can, that you would receive, God, these commitments from us just as a way to say that we love you and that we want to give back, that we want to provide for those who are coming behind us. Lord, that people would know your name, that they would experience your goodness and your glory as long as you tarry. It's in your name we pray. Amen.